The focus of our message this morning is based on our theme of this week in our Bible reading, which was God's promises. And I'd like to read to you a psalm, Psalm 145, which is attributed to David. And as we read the Psalms of David, just like that song we just sung, he is one who with every breath in his lungs poured out praise to God. And as we read the words of this psalm, we're reminded of how important it is for you and me to be a people who would continue to pour out our praise, what a difference that makes in our lives. So hear these words from Psalm 145. I will lift you up high, my God, the true King. I will bless your name forever and always. I will bless you every day. I will praise your name forever and always. The Lord is great and so worthy of praise. God's greatness can't be grasped. One generation will praise your works to the next one, proclaiming your mighty acts. They will talk all about the glorious splendor of your majesty. I will contemplate your wondrous works. They will speak of the power of your awesome deeds. I will declare your great accomplishments. They will rave in celebration of your abundant goodness. They will shout joyfully about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, very patient and full of faithful love. The Lord is good to everyone and everything. God's compassion extends to all his handiwork. This is the word of the Lord. I'd like to begin the message this morning with a little call and response. And what I'd like to do is to ask those of you who are sitting over on this side, when you say God is good, I'd like this side to respond by saying all the time. And when you say all the time, I'd like this side to respond by saying God is good. Are you ready to try that? Here we go. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Now we should probably try that again, right? Here we go. God is good. Well, there's a lot of energy behind that, like you've heard that before. But is it really true? Is God really good all the time in your life? I mean, what about those times when you're in pain? Is God good when you're in pain? What about those times when you're in conflict? Is God good when you're in conflict? Is God good when you're depressed? When you're stressed out? When you're worried? Is God good when you're under attack? Is God good when you've lost someone near and dear to you? Is God really good all the time? Well, this psalm invites us to see that even though life brings pain and conflict, even though life brings worry and grief, God is still good. And when in our troubles we can focus on the goodness of God, we discover that God is still at work in this world. That God loves us. That God cares for us. That God is at work to heal every broken place, to bring peace to this world and to us. First of all, this psalm declares that God's goodness creates a new experience of daily praise. Let's look again at the first two verses. I will lift you up high, my God, the true King. I will bless your name forever and always. I will bless you every day. I will praise your name forever and always. Now you notice that those two little words, I will, are repeated four times in just those two short verses. The psalmist is inviting us to decide, to be intentional about looking for the goodness of God in this world. You see, worship is a decision that shifts the focus from me to God. Worship is not just something that we do here together on Sunday morning, but whenever in your life you are shifting the focus from yourself unto God, it's an expression of worship. Now, in our culture, as you know, there is an over-focus on me, me, me. Living in this world, it's easy for us to forget about the goodness of God. And sometimes we claim credit for things that were only possible for us because of God's goodness. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells the story of this very rich man who was very successful. He's made a lot of money. And one day he's surveying his business empire and he says, "Just look at what I've done in my life." He's pretty proud. He goes, "Look at all that I've accomplished. Look at the wealth I've amassed. I have more money than I could ever spend," he says. "I tell you what, I'm just going to build a bigger barn. And I'm going to sit back and eat and drink and be merry." He doesn't give God any credit. He thinks that everything in his life is as a result of himself. And maybe you remember what God says to this rich man. He says, "You fool, tonight you're going to die. Now who will get the things you have prepared for yourself?" And then Jesus says, after telling this story, "This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and are not rich toward God." One of the lessons Jesus wants us to learn here is that everything you have is a gift from God. You would not take your next breath if it were not for the goodness of God. You would not be sitting here in church this morning if it were not for the goodness of God. This psalm calls me again and again to take my eyes off of me and to fix my eyes on the God who has been so good to me. Magnifying the Lord has a way of opening my eyes to see more and more of God's goodness in my life and in the world, day after day after day, a new experience of praise. And then as we continue on in this psalm, we discover that God's goodness travels through all generations. Look at the next two verses. "The Lord is great and so worthy of praise. God's greatness can't be grasped. One generation will praise your works to the next one, proclaiming your mighty acts." The psalmist says that God's greatness cannot be grasped. You know, it's hard to believe looking at us, but in the past year, Betsy and I turned 60. Now, she'll be 61 a little bit before I will. Sorry. But we celebrated last summer by taking a long-anticipated trip to Hawaii. And one of our adventures there was going sailing and snorkeling. And we sailed out on this big sailboat with about 40 other people. And just before we arrived at our first stop, we were given our flippers and our mask and our snorkels. Neither of us had ever been snorkeling before, and we needed help, well, even to get the flippers on our feet. And when the time came to get in, it was terrifying. I mean, we had floaters around our waists to help us, but and we had experienced snorkelers all around us, but the ocean is just so vast and so deep, and there's so much unknown beneath the surface. But the crew encouraged us, and we both took the plunge. And it was a truly incredible experience. Face down, we saw all kinds of fish and sea turtles and beautiful coral. And we were just getting into it when the captain gave the signal for us to get back in the boat. And then we had another stop at another place and we saw even more. But we realized that with all that we saw, in that time and in that space, as magnificent as it was just a tiny glimpse of the vastness in the Pacific Ocean. You know that 75% of the earth is covered in water. So much unknown, unfathomable, unexplored. The psalmist says God's greatness is like that. We have experiences of God, and yet there is so much, much more of God to experience. More beauty, more love, more peace, more wisdom, more grace, more and more yet to be explored over a lifetime. For there is nothing that compares to the greatness of our God. But here's the amazing thing. The psalmist says that as great as God is also good. From generation to generation, there is testimony of the goodness of God in people's lives. The question there in your teaching notes asks, how has God's goodness traveled through your family? Maybe the goodness of God has traveled to you in the midst of a crisis in your life. Much as it did to a prison guard in the Roman province of Philippi that we read about in Acts chapter 16. He had never heard of God's goodness before, I imagine. Then Paul and Silas were put under his watch. They had been beaten and put in chains in Philippi, but still they were singing songs of praise to God. They were singing, God is good! And all the time. And suddenly there was an earthquake, and their chains fell off, and the prison doors flew open, and a crisis for the prison guard, who was responsible for making sure they stayed there. But through the work of the Holy Spirit, as Paul and Silas shared their lives with him, he came to know the goodness of God. And we're told that that very night, he went home and he told his spouse and all the kids and everyone in his household too about Jesus. From generation to generation, the goodness of God. Maybe the goodness of God traveled to you through your own parents and grandparents, the way it traveled to young Timothy. It traveled to Timothy from his grandma Lois, down through his mother Eunice, and then to him as he passed the goodness along to the next generation. Some of you are the third or fourth generation in this church, generation after generation, passing on the faith to those who come after you. Perhaps the goodness of God traveled to you through a child. Long ago, the prophet Isaiah said that a little child shall lead them. And sometimes that's how it happens. A child gets excited about Wonderful Wednesday or the children's ministry at the church and brings mom and dad along. A youth gets engaged in the youth ministry, and soon parents and grandparents are coming alongside of that young person. God works in so many ways because God wants you and me and everyone else to know the goodness of God. We could sing of God's goodness forever and still never exhaust how great, how good our God is. New experiences of praise every day from generation to generation. And then as this psalm continues, the psalmist tells us God's goodness recaptures your attention and your voice. They will talk about all the glorious splendor of your majesty. I will contemplate your wondrous works. They will speak of the power of your awesome deeds. I will declare your great accomplishments. Notice those two words that are underlined. Contemplate and declare. God's goodness recaptures our attention. We live in an age when we have so much distraction. It's hard for us to keep our attention on anything. But the psalmist invites us to set our minds and our hearts on the goodness of God. And there are so many ways that we can do this. One of them is through a daily time in God's Word. You know, it's hard to believe, but we are 3/4 of the way through our year-long Bible reading challenge. And each day throughout 2018, we've been invited to read scriptures related to one of the great themes of the Bible. Now, if you started out reading earlier in the year and you've gotten off track, I want to encourage you to take it up again and to have a strong 4th quarter. And if you're new to the church, I encourage you to stop by the display in the lobby. We still have Bibles and reading plans. Take one for yourself. Take one for a friend. One of the most important ways we can set our minds and our hearts on God's goodness is by devoting some time each day reading God's Word. And another way we can do this is through the mutual love that we experience in community together. In a few minutes, we're going to take some time to bless the prayer shawls and the other items that have been made by our Covered in Love group. These dedicated women gather each week and offer their talents to bless those who will receive these gifts. Some of them are prayer shawls that are delivered by one of the pastors or a member of the prayer team. Some of them are gifts for newborn babies, ways of expressing our love and support for new parents. When you wrap a prayer shawl around your shoulders, as I know many of you have, it's a powerful reminder that God is good, that God is with you in all of your circumstances. God's goodness has a way of recapturing your attention. And it also, the psalmist says, it recaptures your voice. When you experience the goodness of God, it moves you to tell others that God is good. And I wonder if there is someone that comes to mind for you today, someone that needs a word of encouragement from you, someone that needs a prayer from you, someone that needs an expression of love from you to remind them that God is good. Now finally, as we come to these next few verses at the end of our text, the psalmist declares that God's goodness provides an abundance of love. An abundance of love. Look at the next three verses. They will rave in celebration of your abundant goodness. They will shout joyfully about your righteousness. Now, there's something I want you to notice here. Notice that after righteousness, there's a colon, which indicates to us what the church will rave about, what the church will shout joyfully about. And it's there in quotes. And I want you to read verses 8 and 9 with me enthusiastically, remembering that we rave and we shout joyfully about God's goodness. Okay, are you ready? The Lord is merciful and compassionate, very patient and full of faithful love. The Lord is good to everyone and everything. God's compassion extends to all His handiwork. You know, when critics rave about a book or a movie or food, they offer great, enthusiastic praise. And the psalmist calls us to be just as enthusiastic in our praise for the goodness of God. And there was a lot of joyful shouting in some college football stadiums yesterday. And I've been at sporting events and concerts and such where the joyful shouting is so loud that I can't even hear the person next to me talk. The psalmist calls us to shout joyfully like that about the goodness of God. 2 weeks ago, Dr. Doug Curry from Messiah College preached here, and he reminded us of what the most important question is to ask about a worship service. What is the most important question to ask about a worship service? Well, it is not, what did you think of the music today? Although it was wonderful, but it's not that. The most important question is not, well, how was the sermon today? No comment. The most important question was not about the way things were arranged in the sanctuary, not about how friendly the person next to you was, not about what so-and-so wore to church. The most important question we bring to worship is this: how did I do in my worship today? How was my singing? How did I offer enthusiastic praise for the goodness of God? How did I engage the scripture because of my heart's desire to grow deeper in relationship with Him? Did my prayers express my gratitude for God's love, my sincere desire to enter into God's presence? Was my offering a true expression of generosity, or did I give begrudgingly? Was God's goodness evident through me as I related to the people that God brought into my presence? How did I do in worship today? You see, according to this psalm, God's goodness inspires passion for God. A couple of weeks ago, our daily Bible reading focused on the theme of gratitude, and we read this incredible scene from the 7th chapter of Luke about the night that Jesus dined in the home of a Pharisee. And while they were eating together, this woman, who didn't have a very good reputation, came in, and she poured out expensive oil on the feet of Jesus. And then she washed His feet with her tears And then she dried the tears with her hair. Now the Pharisee just couldn't believe that Jesus would let such a woman even touch him. And he was behaving as if he was actually doing Jesus a favor by inviting him over for dinner. But this woman, she was so overwhelmed by the goodness of God. The God who had loved her, forgiven her, set her free, so overwhelmed that she responded with such passion. An offering of praise to the Lord. Jesus said, "This is why I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven. She has shown great love." The one who is forgiven little, he said, loves little. My prayer for you today is that you might join that great company of those who, like David the psalmist, those who, like this woman who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, that you might join that great company of those who celebrate the goodness of God. Brothers and sisters, let every day bring new expressions of praise from you. Pass on the goodness of God to the next generation. Let God's goodness every day recapture your attention, recapture your voice. For you are loved abundantly, excessively, overwhelmingly loved. It's true. In every season of your life, in every circumstance, loved. God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. May our lives reflect the goodness of God always and everywhere. Amen. Thank you.